Welcome back to the Rainy Day Horror Show. I'm Big Daddy D, and you are listening to the number one podcast on the internet. And on today's Serial Killer Sunday, we are taking a trip to the lovely country of New Zealand. Yes, our first out-of-state visit, okay? And on today's episode, Dusty is going to be talking about a female serial killer. Yeah, a female. A crazy fucking female serial killer that did a whole lot of weird shit. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce your host for this evening's show, Dusty McBalls, aka your certified cougar hunter and your host with the most. Now sit back, shut up, and enjoy this episode.
Thank you, Big D, for that beautiful little intro. And yes, like he said, we're headed to New Zealand to learn about Minnie Dean, a serial killer. Yeah, a serial killer. Got another one. Now, she does not come from a Christian background, people. So, the Christians in this episode, you're getting a little bit of a break, okay? You're getting a little bit of a break, all right? And I don't want to give you a break, but you're getting one, okay? Now, New Zealand, you guys are kind of interesting. I will say this. As I was doing my research, you know, I type in Google, the Google machine, like, hey, give me serial killers from New Zealand. You guys only have two recorded serial killers, okay? But you guys do have a lot, a shit ton of, like, mass murderers, which is kind of surprising. I didn't think you guys would have a lot of mass murders, but your mass murders outweighed your fucking serial killers by a lot. There's a shit ton. Now, I don't know if you guys now have, like, banned weapons or not, because I know in Australia they banned, can't have a gun in Australia, but I don't know if it's the same with New Zealand, because I know you guys are right off the coast of Australia, but like, holy shit, people, you guys got a lot of them, but yeah, it's gonna be a good episode. We're going back to the mid-1800s on this one, and I know you guys, well, hold on, let me rewind. I know, and you guys know, that some of these older stories are sometimes difficult to tell. Just because a lot of it was, you know, a lot of it is alleged. I mean, some of it is documented, and it's documented well. But, like, the early life of some of these serial killers, when it goes back this far, a lot of the records are a lot of the records seem to be destroyed, which, I mean, if you're a serial killer back then, I understand why, okay? Taints the community and stuff like that. But that's the same thing with this case, Minnie Dean. A lot of her records were destroyed as a young child. But we're gonna tell the story, and we're gonna do it as best as we can. Well, I'm gonna do it as best as we can. So, get those Crocs on. Set them bitches in adventure mode, because we're going on a fucking trip straight to New Zealand. So without further ado, let's get into this beautiful little Serial Killer Sunday episode. Now, Wilhelmina, it's a weird name. This is going to be a bad start to the episode, but Wilhelmina McCulloch, which is a.k.a. Minnie Dean, and she was born on September 2nd, in 1844. Now, she was born in West Greenock, which is located in like the central but like west central part of Scotland. I didn't know how to word that, so it kind of felt weird, but somewhere in the central western part of Scotland. Now, Minnie was the fourth girl in a family of eight children who were all girls. She had so many fucking sisters. Seven fucking sisters. Minnie's mother was Elizabeth Swann, and no, it's not the bitch from the Pirates of the Caribbean, okay? That's a whole different segment. That not related to Minnie. And Elizabeth was a stay-at-home mom, I assume. Couldn't really find a whole lot of information on her mother, but I assumed she was a stay-at-home mom taking care of the eight children. Now, Minnie's dad and Elizabeth's husband was John McCulloch, and he was an engine driver with the Glasgow, Paisley, and Greenock Railway. Now, like I said earlier, since this story is quite old and since there's a tendency of records being destroyed with these stories, her life between her childhood, the death of her mother from stomach cancer in 1857, and her arrival in New Zealand is basically, well, pretty much unknown. Not a whole lot of people know about her early life. But reports do suggest that she had arrived in Invercargill, New Zealand, off of a ship that departed from Tasmania in the early 1960s. Now, once she had arrived in Invercargill, she would tell like all the neighbors and everybody around her that she is a widow of an Australian doctor, while also being the doctor or the daughter of a Presbyterian minister. When Minnie first touched down in Invercargill, she had a daughter with her while also being pregnant with her second child, who also turned out to be a girl. There is no evidence that historians could find that backed up her marriage or the death of her husband. But historian and author Lindley Hood did find evidence that her eldest daughter was born in Tasmania. So, right up until now, of how she got there and her life to these neighbors is alleged, okay? This allegedly happened other than the birth of her daughter. Now, historians also believe that she moved to New Zealand back in the 19th century because of an illegitimate birth, and that would be the birth of her firstborn. And these illegitimate births were out of the social norms back then, and it caused unwed mothers to have a difficulty when it came to finding jobs, husbands, or basically any normal social life. So these historians believed it was her only shot at having a fresh start since she arrived in New Zealand in her late teens or early 20s. And primarily the reason that she chose New Zealand is because she kind of had a famous aunt within the Invercargill community. Her aunt was, well, known to the town as Granny Kelly, and she was one of the founding settlers in this town, which people suspect helped push Minnie's alleged story, since she was just so well respected and she was the only one that knew the truth behind Minnie. Now, as the next 8-ish years had gone by, Minnie worked hard and grinded out her new life, in which she ended up becoming a governess within the community, which is someone who is employed to basically be a teacher and teach kids about shit like school and stuff like that in a private household. And while Minnie was doing that, she also eventually met a man by the name of Charles Dean, who is a local farmer. And when Minnie met Charles, they would start out with a very strong relationship. They loved each other, okay? They loved each other, okay? They were fucking, right? He was eating up the tulip, okay? He was, you know, since he was a farmer, he knew he had a way with his fingers, and that's what Minnie really liked about him, you know? It's like each little finger was like its own little snake and just slither around inside of her. Ew, that's disgusting. And now, eventually, Charles and Minnie would get married on September 2nd, 1844. And once Charles and Minnie got married, they would eventually head to their local bank where they took out a very, very smart loan. And what they did with this loan is they started up a pub between Riverton and the Otago Goldfields, which I will give them credit for because it's a really smart business move, because they were standing on piles of cash when they opened up this little pub, because they would have gold miners that would just come through frequently. Frequently come through and like stop at their pub, get a drink, get something to eat, right? And then they would head to the gold fields in Otago. And this worked for a while. It worked for like 10-ish years. And then while they were working there and being able to support their family, Minnie's daughters, Ellen and Isabel, were able to get married and eventually got kicked out of the house. Well, not really got kicked out, but they left the house to go start their own little lives. But after they left, all hell seemed to break loose. Shortly after Minnie's daughters left the household, the couple eventually adopted a 5-year-old girl named Margaret Cameron. But unfortunately, they weren't able to provide for her like they were able to do for Minnie's daughters. At some point during the 1870s, a railway line was being built that eventually bypassed the Dean's pub, which ultimately sent them bankrupt, and the bank foreclosed on them. And on top of that, in New Zealand, at this specific point in time, there was a really, really bad depression that everybody was going through, and a lot of people were losing their properties to the banks, which would suck. I couldn't imagine losing my own business to the bank. Shit's expensive, right? Dreams just fucking crushed. That would be awful. That'd be so fucking awful. Now, as they, you know, lost their pub and everything, thankfully for Dean and Minnie, Granny Kelly would come in and save them. Now, after the foreclosure on the pub happened, Kelly bought Minnie and Dean a farm called the Larches, which was just outside of the town of Winton. Now, this farm was beautiful, gorgeous, just sexy. It was a 2-story home that had 7 to 8 bedrooms, and it came with 22 acres. There is so much money to be made here. So much money. If you think about it, 22 acres. You gotta have a farm, little goats, little sheeps, horses, cows, piglets, chickens. You could have all sorts of shit, right? And you don't even need like cattle or anything. You could have like a bunch of plants. Like you could grow tomatoes, potatoes, tobacco, right? Like, there's so much money to be made here. And that's what started it. Like, once they bought the farm and moved out to Winton, they did eventually buy cattle, and they did plant a little orchard on their farm, right? Told you, these are business people, okay? They're making money. They're trying to make money, trying to gain back all of that money that they lost, right? But this is going to be a reoccurring theme in our story today. Tragedy struck again, and as they just moved into this house, just settled in, this farmhouse caught fire and burned it to the ground. And after the house was burned, the Deans scoured for money and they rebuilt the home. But this volume two of their new house wasn't as elegant or beautiful as their previous home. It only had like two bedrooms, a normal living room. Like, it wasn't as nice, okay? They had to work with what they had, which wasn't a lot if you think about the time that they're in with the depression and everything. And as they were trying to rebuild their lives once again, for a third but not final time, tragedy would fucking strike the Dean family. According to historians, Ellen, who is one of Minnie's biological daughters, allegedly killed herself along with her two kids. Now, her two kids were both 10, well, not both of them. One was 10 months old and the other one was 2 years old. And she killed them by throwing themselves down a well where they ultimately drowned. And at the time, law officials recorded it as an unexplained incident or tragedy. And people suggest that the reason it was recorded as unexplained is because the community wanted to give her a Christian burial. And if it, you know, was recorded as like a double murder suicide, she wouldn't have gotten that. She wouldn't have gotten that. So, I mean, I guess Christians, you popped up once in this fucking video. God damn it, Christians. Why you gotta be like that? Girl's depressed. You don't want to give her a fucking... I want to give her a fucking Christian burial ground? Burial? Not burial ground. Burial? What? What I... Listen... I said earlier you might escape me this episode. Actually, I said you did escape me, but now I'm reeling it in, okay? I'm coming after you, okay? And I like making fun of you guys. It is so much fucking fun, okay? I don't care about any other religion, just the Christians, because I get a kick out of you guys. I think you guys are so fucking funny. So fucking funny. I was listening today as I was at my brother's hockey game. By the way, holy shit, that shit fucking pissed me off. Today's game fucking pissed me off, all right? We were in double... It's... Okay, let me rewind. So, my brother was in the District 8 tournament, right? Undefeated the entire fucking season. Was supposed to win tonight. Was supposed to fucking win, okay? Now, we're sitting there, double OT, like a few minutes left to go. And this... little Egan bastard, little shit stain, just like lightly tossed the puck from like center ice at our goalie. I looked away at my mom because she asked me something. And then I looked back and I saw the fucking puck going to the net and the goalie had his stick on the ice. Like, he dropped it, right? Now, for my viewers here that have been here for a while, you know that at my house, well, between me and Gabby, we have three little spirit children that just follow us around, right? So I text Gabby, right? I go, hey, bitch. Just kidding, I didn't say bitch. Hey, girl. Are the kids with me? Are they, you know, hanging around? She goes, yeah. Yeah, they are. She says, what'd they do? And I said, I'm not trying to point fingers or anything, but the goalie let in a really, really bad shot from center ice, and his stick was on the ground, and it looked like it was, what I'm assuming, was knocked out of his hand. And I text her. I was like, I think maybe the kids did it, but I don't want to be sure. So you know what she does? She asks the children, the chillin', right? And she's like, I asked them, and they started giggling. And I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck, children? We could have won districts. We went undefeated the entire fucking season. Right? And they knocked the stick out. Knocked the stick out. Little bastards. I love them. Just kidding. No, not just kidding to me loving them. I do love them. They're so fucking funny. But, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys. Because I thought that was fucking crazy. But back to the Christians. You bastards. You fucking bastards. They want to give her a burial because she committed suicide. How dare you? How fucking dare you? Okay, I'm done being mean to you guys. I'm sorry, I apologize. Not really. So as the years progressed with this struggling family, Charles decided to raise pigs and sell them for profit, while Minnie came up with the bright idea to adopt and foster unwanted babies. Now, this practice was known as baby farming in the 1800s, which is basically just a different name for a foster home. And at the time, baby farming... So, hold on, let me rewind. At the time when people were doing baby farming, that sounds weird, but it was getting a really, really bad rap and was widely criticized across the globe, especially in the UK and Australia. Now, local newspapers in New Zealand started reporting on baby farming in the 1800s, and they had some wild fucking headlines, okay? But don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to make you look them up, okay? Because that'd just be mean. That would just be mean. I'm actually going to tell you what's going on here. Some of the headlines. I think I got like three of them. Yeah, I got like three of them. So, first one. Mrs. Waters, the Brixton baby farm, has been sentenced to death and executed. Wellington Independent, 3rd of December in 1870. A baby farmer named Augusta Gramage was lately sentenced to 10 years penal servitude for feloniously slaying a young child that had been entrusted to her care. Nelson Evening Mail, 21st of January in 1875. Hundreds of people gathered in the street, lined the fences, and crowded even the housetops to watch the police at work. The two bodies found today bring the total up to 15 unearthed so far. That's talking about babies. Bay of Plenty Times, November 30th, 1892. The bodies of three infants have been unearthed at New Brunswick, a suburb of Melbourne. The police believe they are on the track of an extensive system of baby farming. New Zealand Mail, September 8th, 1893. And in 1895, New Zealand had its own farming headlines, baby farming headlines, which is where we're going to start. So, well, we're not going to start right away, but we're going to eventually get into it here because this one's talking about Minnie. Now, when Minnie decided to do her baby farming scheme, she put an ad in the local newspaper saying, in quotes, respectable married woman wants to adopt an infant. And from just that one ad, Minnie was getting a lot of people replying to her. Now, when these women reached out to Minnie, they made a legal written agreement where the mother would pay £5 to £8 a week for like babysitting, while some of the other children, specifically babies, were adopted between 10 to 30 pounds. And at one point, Minnie had 9 children in their household who were all under the age of 3, which is crazy because the mortality rate in New Zealand, specifically in the 1890s, was extremely high. Estimated to be between 80 and 100 babies or children would die for every 1,000 children that are born. Which, if you want to get to a percentage of that, because I know a lot of people like percentages and it helps make more sense, that is between 8 to 10%. Okay? I think it is. If I did my math right, I think it's 8 to 10%. Don't quote me on it. Okay? Don't fucking call me stupid in the comments. Okay? Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. When I was in high school, I wasn't the best at schooling. You know, ADHD, not fun. Hated it, right? I only took 3 years of math in high school. We basically only needed up to Algebra 2 to graduate, and I said, fuck it. Senior year, I'm not doing a algebra class. Because I was originally going to go into the military, or I was going to go to community college, right? Didn't do either, because, you know, fuck school. Unless, well, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are certain jobs that need to have a degree, right? Lawyers, doctors, you know, police. Yeah, I do think you need a degree to be a police officer. What else do we need? But like, those are the three that I can think of off the top of my head. But it's like, we're talking, well, or a vet. A vet, you do, I would say yes. A vet, you would. But like, if you want to own, like, if you want to be a business manager or something, you don't need a fucking degree. Like, you know how many people have started up a business with no fucking degree? Like, that shit baffles me, okay? There are a bunch of shit that you don't need a degree for. Teachers need a degree, okay? But, like, there are some shit that you don't need a fucking degree for, and I hate that you, with specific jobs, you need a fucking degree. Dumb as fuck. Dumb as fuck. I forgot where I was going with that, so we're going to jump right back into the story. So as she's taking in all these children, it was only a matter of time before the babies' bodies started dropping within the Dean's household. And that leads us into our first death within the Dean's household. Yeah, the Dean's household. Hold on. Okay, there we go. My notes flickered out for a second. So, in 1889, a 6-month-old infant had died within the Dean's household. And just 2 years later, a 6-week-old baby would also eventually die due to inflammation of the heart valves and the congestion of the lungs. Now, after these two deaths, and since, you know, a baby shouldn't just like drop dead, I mean, obviously there are some medical things, like maybe they're born with something and stuff like that, but a baby shouldn't just be like, oh, I have congested heart lungs, like, or not heart lungs, congested lungs and my inflamed heart valves are fucked up. I'm just going to kick the bucket. Like I don't think that just, unless they're born with something, but like, it really raised a bunch of eyebrows within the Winton community and the police department. They were a little sketched out because they considered it a, what's the word? Unexplained, I guess. Yeah, unexplained death. So they decided to do an inquest, which, for people that don't know what an inquest is, an inquest is basically a judicial inquiry. Normally, a coroner and or a jury requests an inquest regarding the cause of death of an individual who was just killed or suddenly died under mysterious or other suspicious circumstances, including but not limited to prison. So that's basically, you know, the word around town was like that. That's weird. So they decided to do this inquest. And after the inquest had concluded, they decided that the dead infant and the other children at the Larches were well cared for, but that the premises was inadequate, meaning it just, they were being well cared for, but it just wasn't a safe environment. So this put Minnie and Charles under really like a lot of police investigation and a lot of, what's the word, like spying, I guess. I don't like to say spying, but they were staking out the Deans. And police, after staking them out for a while, had found out that she had been looking, Minnie, had been looking for more children to take care of. And she had tried, but unsuccessfully, to take out life insurance policies on some of these infants that have been dying within her care. And it really, as these babies started dying, the police started making more of an initiative with their surveillance and started spying on them more and more, because there was a death of another baby in 1892. And it was a three-week-old child. Sorry, that was a tongue twister. And the Christ Church Police Department decided to take charge of this case. And the Deans had adopted this three-week-old baby from its single mom for 25 pounds. I'm seeing the little, I think it's pounds. Okay, sorry. I'm not from Europe or anywhere other than the United States. I've only been to Mexico a handful of times. So, like, I don't know the fucking little symbol. Like, you know how the dollar is an S with a line between it? I don't know what a pound or a euro looks like, but I looked it up and I'm pretty sure it is pounds here. Okay, so. And as the police were surveying the Deans, and they eventually were able to trace the Deans back to a boarding house and found this child in very dirty clothes and was being fed from a bottle containing sour and curdled milk. The baby's mother said she could scarcely recognize her child as it had so, quote unquote, so altered for the worse in 2 days that the Deans had taken like care of this child. The police thought that they had probably saved this baby's life, but they still were suspicious and they kept Minnie under surveillance. And in 1893, the commissioner of police wrote to the minister of justice with concerns about the Deans' activities. But it gets way, way worse. It does. It gets way worse, and we're about to get into that. Because as the years like started passing by, I guess, it quickly... What am I trying to say here? Sorry, I'm trying to figure it out. So as the years moved on and 1895 had approached, on May 2nd, a railway guard saw Minnie board a train carrying a young baby and a hat box. On the return trip, the same guard noticed that she only had the hat box, which, as these railway porters would later testify in court, they thought it was suspiciously heavy. I'm going exactly where you're thinking, okay? That was my throat itching, sorry. And after a, like, pretty quick search along the tracks, police unearthed from Dean's garden that she had recently buried the bodies of two babies who were identified as Eva Hornsby and Dorothy Carter. They also found the skeleton of an older boy who Dean later claimed had drowned. An inquest was then re-established and determined that Dorothy Carter had died of an overdose of opiate laudanum, I think that's how you say it, which is commonly used to calm irritable infants. After she was caught for, you know, after they searched the premises and found these dead bodies, they ended up arresting her and she went to trial for Carter's murder in Invercargill on June 18th, 1895. She was defended by the renowned defense lawyer, Alfred Hanlon, who would later write that sober, home-loving folk from end to end of the country shuddered when the grim and ghastly story of Minnie Dean's infamy was narrated by the prosecution. Imagine a being with the name and appearance of a woman boldly using a public railway train for the destruction of her helpless victims. Sitting serene and unperturbed in a carriage with one tiny corpse in a tin box at her feet and another enshrouded in a shawl and secured by traveling straps in the luggage rack at her head. Despite Hanlon's defense that the baby's death was accidental, on June 21st, Dean was found guilty of murder and sentenced to death. She was hung in Invercargill on August 12th, 1895, earning the dubious honor of being the only woman to ever be executed in New Zealand. But that's not all, because after her death, Minnie became part of New Zealand folklore. Local legend even claimed that no plants would grow on her grave. Los Angeles-based singer-songwriter Helen Henderson, who was raised in Scotland, recalled that Minnie was like the boogeyman of our town when I was a kid. If you were giving cheek to your mom or being naughty, it was like, you better watch out or I'll send you off to the Minnie Dean's farm and you'll never be heard of again. Henderson captured the macabre fascination with the case in her story, well not story, in her song called Minnie Dean. And if you want to hear the specific lyric, it is this. She dressed in black and she carried a hat. In a hat box when early to, in a hat box, went early to the station she came. And on her way back, she also wore the hat. Invercargill to Winton on the 5 o'clock train. And that is the legend, the serial killer, Minnie motherfucking Dean. Wow, this turned out to be way shorter than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be longer, but I just can't believe that she got caught for carrying a fucking, like, dead, like, two dead children. One in the hat box, and then one above her with all the straps and the luggage and stuff like that. That is fucking insane. Fucking insane. So I guess kids, well, not kids, parents, don't send your children to a foster home or a daycare. You don't know what they're going to do. They might be murdering your child right now as we speak. Yeah, I know you're out on a nice Sunday dinner, okay? Babysitters, fucking your child. Not fucking. Sorry, we won't go there. Killing your child. Murder. Stab, stab, stab. Death upon knife. Okay. But goddamn, just imagine that. People are fucking crazy. People are fucking crazy. Like, how, like, I mean, I understand that she wanted to take insurance policy, life insurance policies out on them. But, like, that's the crazy thing. People always catch on. People always fucking catch on. Especially back in the 1800s, where a lot of communities were still pretty small. I mean, don't get me wrong, there were some major cities, but most of them weren't, you know, as big as they are today, which is just mind-blowing to think about. Like, you could get away with so much back then, but somehow people still got caught, right? And it actually kind of goes the other way, too. You might have not done anything. You were just wrong place, wrong time, but they didn't have the technology to, you know, acquit you, stuff like that, to make sure people, well, to make people think you're not dead. But, yeah, just fucking wild. Just fucking wild. So I'm going to end the episode here. I will see you guys tomorrow at noon. It's going to be a good episode. Don't know what we're going to do yet. Might do Resident Evil, but I don't fucking know. We'll figure it out, though. So, remember, stay frosty, stay foxy, and most importantly, the most important thing on this planet, stay safe, you beautiful peacocks. I love you, New Zealand. Deuces.